This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from Nationals Park in the nation's capital, we're Grant and Danny, and you are locked in to 106.7 The Fan ahead of the Nats and the Mets. A first pitch slated for 4:05, day one of the Juan Soto-less era that begins game two, as the Nats got a win last night post-trade deadline. Home run from 30-year-old call-up Joey Meneses, who had a big year in Rochester. We promised you that you'd have a chance to win some tickets, top of the hour. So let's pay that off. Caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You are winning a pair of tickets to Kid Rock and Foreigner, the Bad Reputation Tour, Jiffy Lube Live, August 26th, coming up this summer, courtesy of Live Nation. Buy your tickets now at livenation.com. In a little over 10 minutes, we're going to let you hear what Mike Rizzo told the Junkies this morning right here on The Fan about why the Nationals only traded Josh Bell and Juan Soto and didn't move any of the other expendable pieces that we thought they might try to trade. But speaking of the Soto deal, right now I want to bring an expert on who's a wealth of knowledge on prospects and player development, and that is Keith Law of The Athletic. Few people in the country are better to talk to about what the Nationals got in their hole yesterday. Keith, you're on in D.C. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Thank you so much for the time. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How about you?
We're doing okay. We're processing. It's like a kind of a grieving period here almost for us, where our young superstar isn't ours anymore, Keith. Did the Nats do okay in getting this haul back?
I think they did great. I cannot think of a trade in MLB history where there was more young talent heading in one direction than what the Nats just got here. Now, I know there are probably some Nats fans who think that's not enough because there is just no trade package that would ever be enough for Juan Soto, but I think when you're looking at any historical comparison, this is really as good as it gets. And when I talk to people inside the industry, they are unanimous in saying this is a franchise-changing haul for the Nats. And everyone I've spoken to thinks that they did extremely well with that five-player return.
As far as the return goes, Keith, we can go player by player with you in a second. But what was your expectation as far as what they could get back? And then what are some of your main takeaways from the haul in general?
Yeah, my concern was that, you know, we all know once it becomes clear you're going to want or need to trade a player before he gets to free agency, the clock starts ticking. And the closer you get to free agency, obviously his value in trade declines because the value the acquiring team is getting declines. So there was some urgency to try to trade him now, but they also had 2.5 years left. And if they'd waited till the offseason, it was possible they'd get other teams involved, right? A team to acquire Soto now had to be a club that had the resources, had the prospect, but also had a direct interest in competing this season. For example, the Giants have a very good farm system, would almost certainly have been interested, but they're not contending. And so that made them less likely to be suitors now, more likely in the offseason. So I tried to keep my expectations reasonable and thought there was still a good chance we'd get to the deadline and the Nationals would say, we didn't get an offer we liked, and therefore we're keeping Juan Soto for now. They got an offer they liked. They got an offer that I think probably blew them away when they realized what they were going to get and felt like they were not likely to get more than that in the offseason. And if that was their belief, then I agree.
Keith Law with us here on Grant and Danny. All right, let's go through the prospects, Keith. I'll start, guys, with some Major League service time. Mackenzie Gore at the top of the list. I saw him early in the season when he was just dealing, looked like the front runner for Rookie of the Year. Has run into some hiccups since then, but it's easy to fall in love with that package.
Yes, when Gore was healthy and effective for about the first 7-8 starts of the year, you could see four above average or better pitches. He's been up to 97. I've seen him up to 99 in the past. I've seen a hammer curveball. I've seen a plus changeup. I've seen a really good slider. The delivery is unusual, but he really makes it work, and he's done a lot to try to get that delivery more consistent over the last 2 years so he can throw more strikes. And then something happened. The velocity started to taper off starting in early June, and then he goes on the injured list with an elbow issue. I find it hard to believe coincidence. Elbow started bothering him in June. He tried to pitch through it, finally acknowledged the elbow's bothering him, and we don't know, right? We don't. I'd be shocked if we see him again this season. There's no reason for the Nats to rush him back. And it's possible that he ends up having elbow surgery. But I do know that if Gore is completely healthy, he is a potential number one starter. The guy you saw the first 2 months of the year, that's who I thought he was when he was a prospect, especially before he had some control issues last year that caused him to go through that mechanical rebuild I was talking about.
Keith Law of The Athletic. Robert Hassel, eighth pick in 2020, Team USA star who led the U.S. national team in every category on the U18 World Cup team. I mean, he's got a long history of being one of the top bats of kids his age in this country. Your thoughts on him?
I think he's the safest of the five players they got. He is the one guy where I say, if that guy's not at least an average everyday big leaguer, I'll be shocked. The other guys, well, the other four guys probably all have more upside, but they all have more risk. There's a chance with any of those other four guys they turn into not a whole lot. Whereas Hassel is such an advanced hitter, such a solid all-around player. He really has no flaw. There's nothing he does poorly. He has shown such a strong command of the strike zone at such a young age, and is still growing and still developing. I think he is a long time above average regular in center, understanding the Nats may have other options in center, but that's what he could be in the abstract. Maybe not a superstar. Maybe he also has the lowest chance of becoming a superstar of anyone in the deal. For him to do that, it would be he becomes a perennial batting average champ or guy who's contending for the batting average title while also still getting on base at a good clip, playing good defense, a lot of doubles, maybe 15 homers. That's one his one path to stardom. But, I mean, I say that not to denigrate him, but instead to say people love to say, oh, it's just prospects, it's just prospects. You know, sometimes prospects turn into really good big leaguers, and he's got a very, very good chance of becoming one.
Keith, C.J. Abrams, he runs really well, but he only had one steal and got caught a couple of times. I want to know about him, but I also want to know, is the speed ever going to actually translate into some amazing things on the base pass?
Well, I'm less concerned with whether a guy's speed turns into steals and more into what else it can do. Does it lead to great defense? Does it lead to him turning singles into doubles and doubles into triples? And yes, it does. I don't know if he'll be a high steal guy. There's no reason he couldn't be. He's an 80 runner, top of the scale. I would not read much into what he did this season in any regard because he wasn't ready. He was very clearly not physically ready to hit major league pitching. And you could see by looking at him, and you could also see from the results where he just wasn't hitting anything hard when he was making contact. He was just kind of overmatched by big league stuff. And I'm not shocked. He is still just 21. He's a young-looking 21. He missed half of last season, had a pretty bad leg injury, so it's good news that his speed has come completely back. But he lost a ton of at-bats. He was in the big leagues because Fernando Tatis Jr. got hurt. Had that not happened, Abrams goes to AAA and probably puts up gaudy numbers because El Paso is an amazing place to hit. The Nats should think about just send him to AAA and let him go hit the rest of the year. Maybe send him to fall league, but let him try to make up for all the reps he lost last year. And then this offseason, focus on strength and conditioning. He does need to get stronger to be able to put all his other tools to work against good major league stuff.
He's 21 years old and in the majors, and we're talking about a guy who's played 106 minor league games ever and 46 big league games as a high school draft pick. I mean, it just doesn't happen. That's fairly unprecedented over the last 25 years or so. He was a sixth pick three years ago in 2019, so it's a really, really weird developmental timeline because of the lost year in 2020 and the injury. So I'm not worried really about hitting 232 in the big leagues. In fact, I'm kind of impressed. But I'm with you. They have sent him to AAA, and we'll see how quickly they call him up and give him a cup of coffee maybe at the end of the year. James Wood is just fascinating. He is a teenager who went to IMG Academy. He actually is a D.C. area kid. He's from Rockville, Maryland, so our listeners will recognize that he went to St. John's College High School to play hoops. But at 6'7", 240, I mean, this is a guy, Keith, I think we can dream on a little bit. A little more boomer bust. I think there's shades of, like, Elijah Green, who they just drafted at the top of the draft here as well. But what do you make of kind of his floor and his ceiling as an athlete who has been one of the talks of the minor leagues this year?
Yeah, he is a boomer bust guy. I mean, the floor is he never gets out of the minors, right? He is that kind of hitter. The history of 6'7 hitters in professional baseball is really poor. Only a few have made it at all. Only about two or three have had extensive big league careers. Obviously, Aaron Judge is one. So everyone wants James Wood to be Aaron Judge. And, hey, I hope he's Aaron Judge. Just recognize that the historical odds say that that's not going to be the case. And Wood had a big swing and miss problem in high school. He was crushed by area scouts last year. I was one of many people who was shocked when the Padres took him in the second round and then gave him high first round money. But obviously it's really worked out. And I give Wood a lot of credit. He went out last offseason, lost about 20 pounds of not great weight, and then came in this year showing much better ball strike recognition. I don't know what work he did in the offseason specifically to do that, but it's a noticeable difference. There's still some swing and miss, and there's still some swing and miss in zone. That's going to be something he'll probably always have to work on. But now he's hitting well enough and showing enough of an approach that you can talk about the tools, the size, the huge power. He's actually a plus runner who might have a chance to stay in center field despite that size. That stuff is all kind of irrelevant when there's a huge question of whether or not he can just hit good strikes. He's been doing that so far this year, and I expect both he and Hassel will probably be here in Wilmington pretty soon, which is a tough place to hit and thus a good place to continue evaluating hitters.
Keith Law with us here on G&D. All right, so, Keith, I mean, we're all at this point 18-year-olds that are 6'6", 235 pounds, that throw 100 miles an hour. It's like, whatever, that's pretty normal. But the Nationals seems like they got somebody in Jarlan Susana. Mike Rizzo went out of his way to talk about this guy as a mega part of the deal for the fifth piece. That's pretty intriguing, but they're pretty enamored with him. It's easy to dream on a guy with that easy of emotion throwing cheddar like that. What do we know about him, and what's his timeline?
So it's funny because about 2 weeks before the trade deadline, I was still in draft mode and just got a note from a scout about Susana. I said, hey, I just saw this kid throwing for the Padres, 98-102. He throws strikes. It's probably more control than command. But he's got a chance for two average pitches in the breaking ball and the changeup. It all works. He's only 18. He was signed a little later than your typical international free agent, and this was his professional debut. He pitched nowhere last year because he just signed. Looks like the Padres got something. And then lo and behold, about 12 days later, he shows up in this trade. And, yeah, I agree. I think the Nationals, I'm certain that they had those reports. I am certain that they were targeting him specifically, saying, look, he's 18. He's in Arizona Rookie League, right? He's way away from the big leagues. But as the last piece in a deal, absolutely. I mean, he's not very projectable, but who cares? You're not asking for this guy to throw harder. He already physically looks like a big leaguer. It's just pitching development and obviously keeping him healthy, which is the issue with every young starter, especially every young starter who throws really hard. That's the one thing they'll just have to work on and maybe kind of slow play it with him. Maybe it's another 2 years or so before we see him start to rack up some innings and then can think about when does he join a big league rotation.
When Keith says more control than command right now, control is just being able to throw the ball over the plate. Command is being able to locate. You're talking about quadrants, hitting a mitt, so to speak. Control, you could be in the strike zone and all over the place and middle. Command is actually being able to throw exactly where K-Bert Ruiz's mitt is, which makes sense for a teenager that he's still figuring that out. And you can read Keith Law's work. He's tremendous. Does a lot of great work in The Athletic. Hey, I wanted to ask you, this is a little bit off the beaten path here, but I believe you said yesterday, and if you didn't, then blow me out of the water and tell me I'm wrong. Did you say that you've heard that there was a disagreement of sorts for the Nationals in the draft room on Elijah Green?
Yes. I'm actually curious if you've heard the same thing. I know you're pretty plugged in there, but I was hearing for about the last 2 weeks leading up to the draft, because all spring everyone said the Nats are taking Parada. And sometimes I just hear the Nats are taking a college guy. And then all of a sudden, a week to 2 weeks before the draft, is, you know, the Nats might be like lurking in the weeds on Elijah Green. And I heard, I don't really know who's on what side, I'm speculating, but I did hear there's a bit of a schism. Do we take the super, super high upside high school position player who's got some risk, or do we take Parada, who was about as safe a player in the draft class, a catcher who just absolutely rakes, hits, power, patience, the whole nine yards? They couldn't have gone wrong in either direction, but I do wonder if it's telling that they went for the upside guy, that they went for Green, and that's an acknowledgement. We're in a long-term rebuild here, and we're going to go try to get stars anywhere we can.
Keith, one of the reasons to make this deal from the Nationals' perspective is they haven't had much coming up from the minor leagues to really supplement their big league system. There wasn't much there before this deal. And Grant and I, it's a little bit chicken or the egg. We've had this argument. Is it drafting or developing or both? I mean, how big is the slice of the pie? Why haven't they had more come up through their system here?
I think it's the intake. It's not development. And I recognize also, like, development's changed now, too. We've got different people in charge. That could all change going forward. But I do live in Wilmington. If you're in the Nats system, I'm probably going to see you at some point. And what's come through here the last couple of years since the affiliation changed has not been very good. The lineup right now, it's going to get a lot better with Hassel and Wood arriving. I was just there again last night. This is a bad minor league team, and that's been true for a couple of years now. There's just not much talent coming through, and I'm fine with players come through and they're talented and they're still developing, they're struggling, but you can see tools, you can see upside. It really hasn't been the case, and I think a lot of it is just some drafts that haven't worked out, especially beyond the first round. They're not finding value where a lot of other clubs are. There could be many reasons why that's the case. I'm judging process by results, which is not ideal, right? Their process may be better than I think. I'm just seeing the draft results the last few years haven't been very good. And honestly, post-Soto, I don't think the international side has been very productive either. They've had some big names. They've handed out big bonuses. None of those guys has really popped as a prospect yet.
It'll be a long time before we know who wins or loses a trade, although I'd make the case when you trade Juan Soto, you can't win the trade, even though I was pro what they did. Because, you know, my thought was he's not re-signing. You have to recoup as much possible. Our buddy Eric Longenhagen, I think, had this line that I've stolen from him a bunch of times. The best time to trade Juan Soto is never, and the second best time is right now. And that's kind of how I felt about what happened yesterday. And I thought that was a really sharp point by a guy that you've co-authored some stuff with. But I say this, Keith Law won yesterday because he's in Wilmington. So he sees Hassel now. And soon, I think Wood's going to start at Fredericksburg, but he'll be there. And eventually Susana. So it's been a while since you had to go to Wilmington to see something particularly exciting. And you've got three guys coming now, which will be nice.
Yeah, I am very excited and somewhat relieved. The only thing I'll say is the Blue Rocks games have been very short this year. Because they can't.
Yeah.
Pick. So the games are getting a little longer. I suppose I'll live with that.
Yeah, that's a small price to pay. Hey, Keith, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Yep, my pleasure.
Thank you, buddy.
Of the Athletic, Keith Law with us here on Grant and Danny.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.